This is Twit.
iPhones have ruined a generation, so say the headlines. Kids are having less sex, but they're in danger of serious mental health issues because of how much time they spend on social media and gaming. What is a parent or a person struggling with their own tech addiction to do? Rather than sit and stew about it, we invited Dr. Michael Bishop, founder of Summerland Camps, to talk with us. Dr. Mike is a father and the founder of Summerland Camps, the first adventure-based camp focused on screen time overuse issues in the U.S. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about the mission of Summerland Camps.
Yeah, absolutely. So really unique organization. What we're focused on is helping young people learn how to live with technology. So we don't see technology as a bad thing. We see it as a integral part of life. You know, my wife is a second grade teacher. We just started school back up today. And, you know, the issuing iPads to new students. My kids are in middle school as well. And, you know, they're required to bring cell phones for looking things up in class. So, you know, we don't see technology and, you know, use of smartphones and devices in school as necessarily a bad thing. But we do think that there is an issue with the overuse of technology. And I'm sure that most parents out there watching this would agree that it's just, you know, it's a different world today. We are literally the first generation of parents learning how to raise children with all these digital distractions. And so what we've created Summerland Camps for is a tool for parents to send their kids to the camp so that their kids can learn how to live life in balance with video games, smartphones, the internet, so on and so forth.
So my three kids went away to camp this summer. The two 12-year-olds went backpacking for a week, no technology.
Yeah.
My daughter went to a camp for a week where she had no technology. They came back changed, but then immediately after that, it was back to Snapchat and Instagram.
Yeah.
You got to keep up those streaks, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I would have expected. You know, I mean, how realistic is it for us as parents to expect change? You know, if we don't do a little hand-holding here and set some boundaries and not only change, you know, our expectations for our kids, but change ourselves and change our family culture. And that's what we do at Summerland Camps. We're not just addressing with the kids, you know, helping them set some goals, you know, learn about, you know, keeping a journal, you know, breaking down what they're going to do in a day to fit within their long-term goals, you know, including how much time they spend online, but also changing the family system. So what that means, so one of the things we do at Summerland Camps is we have a family workshop. And at the family workshop, we talk to parents about, okay, you know, so what boundaries should we put up? You know, possibly no smartphones at dinner. Another thing we do is we implement uses of behavioral tracking devices like pedometers. You know, a fun activity that we suggest for parents is instead of just putting a pedometer on your one child that might have, you know, a problem with technology addiction or not getting enough exercise, put a pedometer on every member of the family and then make it a family tradition that after dinner, okay, everybody check their pedometer. Whoever has the least amount of steps, that person does the dishes. And so that could be the child that's playing too much video games. It could even be the dad, you know, who's spending too much time on his laptop at work, or even the mom, you know, or any other child. So, you know, just sending your child to a camp and not having a plan to put in place when you go back home, it's really not realistic to expect changes in technology use to stick. You know, you've really got to supply not only the child but the whole family with the tools to be successful.
Yeah, I feel like what you say about setting an example is a really important component of that. I know with us, we have a 7 and 4-year-old, and you know, there was a point sometime last year where I suddenly made the realization how many of our blank moments, the random moments throughout the home, were one of us standing there, you know, staring at our phone, like swiping through, doing totally non-essential things, but setting a certain example of that this is kind of normal. And hey, you know, why don't we instead put our phone on top of the refrigerator when we're home? And as long as they are awake, Like our time is focused on the family and set that example. Same with driving, right? Like it's so easy to, when you're driving, reach for the phone and do the thing, but they're watching. And that's an example that you're setting.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I have to remind myself of that too. You know, I've gotten in a habit of just putting my smartphone in my glove compartment now when I get in the car, because I realize that, you know, I'm role modeling for my kids and they're going to be driving soon.
Yeah.
So, you know, most families, what we find, they just haven't done that hard work of sitting down and doing the math and counting the costs of, you know, unlimited gameplay. And again, we don't have anything necessarily against video games. We think that, you know, you know, our participants can still enjoy playing video games and, you know, using all the benefits of technology. But we've got to set some limits and we've got to figure out, okay, if, you know, let's say you go to camp and you have a great time and you all our camps are at university campuses. And let's say you've liked the, you know, seeing the science exhibits in the science building, you decide, okay, I want to become a scientist. Okay, well, then let's break that down. What do you have to do to achieve that goal? And how does game playing fit into this? And can you, you know, go to college, get a master's, a doctorate in biology, for example, and play unlimited video games? And generally the answer is no. So we've got to figure out how to set some boundaries here. And the unfortunate thing is most parents haven't done that work. And so what happens is kids go to college and we're seeing freshmen fail out at the rate of about 50 to 60%. Now, I don't know if you know that statistic, but, you know, about half to a little bit more than half of incoming freshmen do not complete college. And I think with this generation coming up, we're going to see that get worse and worse.
What about the problem with empathy? I mean, that's what I haven't seen any actual. I mean, I've seen studies where kids will go away for camp for 8 days and they'll do empathy studies before and when they come home and there's really a difference. But I mean, is that something that you are able to work on at the camp?
Empathy as far as the parents?
Well, no, empathy meaning like that's what I worry about. The fact that we're like this so often and communicate, all of our communication is mediated through a screen with kids that haven't developed their brains. Like, is that something that you're seeing? Is there, like, do you work on more interaction in real life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so what we're seeing more and more of is that kids are missing out on social practice that previous generations got. It's a different kind of socialization that occurs now. And so what happens is kids get kind of caught in this self-perpetuating cycle where, you know, they're maybe they had a bad interaction, so they go online, they start interacting through games or social media, they're isolating more, now they're falling out of social practice more, they're becoming more socially awkward, so they go online more, and it just becomes this self-perpetuating loop. So the main thing we do at this camp is we do a technology detox and get them socializing with others. And of course, you know, the kids that come to the camp are essentially all on about the same social level.
Interesting. So one thing that we talk about on the show pretty regularly, because we talk about a lot of social networks, and you see this in gaming, mobile games a lot of times have this built into it, is this idea that the people that are working there are specifically developing these services and these games with very addictive qualities built into them. It's kind of like a feature. It's how they get people to come back time and time again. And meanwhile, you've got kids who are exposed to these things. Their brains are developing around these highly addictive tools. How much of a responsibility do you think falls on the side of the people creating those tools and those games?
Well, that's a great question. And I mean, ultimately, you know, if a company is for profit, their duty is to their shareholders, and they're going to do what it takes to boost that, you know, shareholder value. So, you know, that's created additional burden on us as parents, especially this, you know, people my age, you know, parents that are raising this first generation dealing with all the digital distractions out there. That's why programs like Summerlin Camps are so needed today. Right. They're not teaching this stuff in schools.
And so how much of this is therapy and how much of this is camp? I know you're a retired psychologist. The people that work there are called coaches, not therapists, but they are actually therapists.
That's correct. We do use licensed therapists at the program, but you know, we're trying not to stigmatize this. You know, I really believe from my career as a psychologist that change has to bubble up from within. Most behavior change programs for teens out there are really punitive in nature. And we're completely on the other end of the continuum as far as that's concerned. What we believe is that, you know, a person has to want to change for change to be effective. And so, you know, our program is about showing them these incredible opportunities. I could just go on and on about the, you know, the rock climbing, rafting, zip lining. We do these treasure hunts where, you know, without any spoiler alerts, you know, everybody comes home with an artifact, and, you know, we have really great experiences for them. And, you know, we believe that's really integral to the behavior change process. You know, you've got to get to a point where you say, okay, yeah, I want to change my life. So we see our therapist as more of a coach than as opposed to a traditional therapist. You know, we're targeting behaviors. These kids have gotten into some bad habits. It is not a we'd rather see it as a habit than pathology. And like any habits can be changed. You know, and when you were younger, you probably had a habit of maybe drinking soda pop or eating candy, and as you matured, you dropped that habit. Now you have new habits, and that's the way we see this.
So where are the camps located, and what are ages? What are the age ranges?
Age ranges is 10 through 18. We've got a beautiful camp in Western North Carolina, and we're scouting a West Coast location for summer 2018. All of Summerlin camps are going to be at university locations, because really what we're doing is we're preparing people for that independence of college. These are college-bound campers that, you know, we want them to be successful in college and deal with all that unstructured time. And, you know, we want them to be successful.
So do you have any pieces of advice for parents or even for people who are struggling with this kind of tech addiction themselves?
I would say for parents, you know, you need to give your kids the opportunity to learn how to turn devices off themselves. I think as parents, naturally, we go into this policing mode where we say, you know, okay, that's it, enough video games today, you know, turn it off. You've got to quit doing that. You have to instill in your kids the ability to say, okay, I've got this goal. I want to try out for the soccer team. I want to get all A's this semester, whatever it is, you know, that goal they have, they have to have that internal dialogue where they say, okay, I've played enough of this. I need to now go, you know, study or practice soccer or what, you know, whatever it is they want to work on.
That's great advice.
That's
daunting advice.
It's good.
But it's really, really good.
It kind of takes a load off me. Like, I feel like one of my most important jobs is making sure screen time is over after the hour or 2 hours.
Now you just program it in on the app so you don't have to do it anymore. It's just a thing pops up on the screen that says, you're done.
You have to let them fail, too.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
You know, let them stay up all night one night and sleep in and miss class. Hey, how did that turn out? And it's out of failures that you know, the people grow.
Yeah,
that is great advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. Dr. Michael Bishop is a retired psychologist, camp founder, Elvis impersonator, husband, and father.
That's right.
There he is. He can be found at summerlincamps.com and at Summerlin Camps on Twitter. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you
so much.
We really appreciate it. Have a good night.